And let's praise Him. Let's lift up the Lord. God, I thank You, God, that we have the opportunity to praise You, to glorify You, and magnify Your name. This afternoon, God, as we come together and glorify You, I pray that You would be in our midst. We welcome Your presence in this place. You never cease to give us reasons to praise You. You never cease to blow our minds with the things that You can do. And God, when we ever just, if we ever get to the place where we think it's just commonplace, where we don't stand in awe of You, when we don't step back and be amazed by who You are, then Lord, bring Your conviction power over us. Remind us of who You are. Oh, oh, oh. When I'm at my end, You just get inside. When I hit a wall, You just walk through. When I face a mountain, You are the maker, so it's gotta move. When I'm out of faith, You are still faithful. When I'm at my worst, You are still good. And all of my questions, You are the answers. It all points to You. 'Cause You're the God of the breakthrough. When I'm breaking down, You'll be working way through. When there's no way out, this one thing I know, You're still on Your throne. So whatever I'm feeling, I still got a reason to praise, praise, praise. And out of our wrongs, You write our stories. And out of the cross come rivers of grace. And out of the grave burst a revival no tomb can contain. 'Cause You're the God of the breakthrough. When I'm breaking down, You'll be working way through. When there's no way out, this one thing I know, You're still on Your throne. So whatever I'm feeling, I still got a reason to praise, praise, praise. I still got a reason to praise, praise, praise. I still got a reason to praise. 'Cause when You come around dry bones, they come to life. Deserts to paradise, stones just start rolling away. When You come around, my heart starts to beat again. Stretch to breathe You in, souls just erupt into praise. When You come around, dry bones, they come to life. And deserts to paradise, stones just start rolling away. When You come around, my heart starts to beat again. Lung stretch to breathe You in, souls just erupt into praise. 'Cause You're the God of the breakthrough. When I'm breaking down, You'll be working way through. When there's no way out, this one thing I know, You're still on Your throne. So whatever I'm feeling, I still got a reason to praise, praise, praise. I still got a reason to praise, praise, praise. I still got a reason to praise. Father, I thank You that we never lose a reason to praise You. We never lose the reason to praise You, Father. No matter what's going on around us, as the song said, I still got a reason to praise you, Father. Oh, cause your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. Oh, this is my confidence. You never failed me yet. You never failed me yet. Oh, walking around these walls, oh, I thought by now they'd fall. Oh, but you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come. Knowing the battle's won. Oh, for you have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. Oh, I'm still in your hands, and this is my confidence. You never failed me yet. Never failed me yet. And I know the night won't last. Your word will come to pass. My heart will sing your praise again. Oh, Jesus, you're still enough. Keep me within your love. My heart will sing your praise again. Your promise still stands. Oh, great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. Oh, this is my confidence. You never failed me yet. You never failed me yet. Never failed me yet. Thank you, Father, that you've never failed us. You've never left us nor forsaken us. You've always been there right by my side. Oh, through all we've seen, we look back and see all the things that he's done. Why would we ever doubt him in the future? Oh, I've seen you move. You move the mountains, and I believe. I see you do it again. You made a way where there was no way. And I believe. I see you do it again. I've seen you move. You move the mountains. And I believe. I see you do it. said you made a way where there was no way, and I believe I see you do it again. I see you do it again. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail me yet. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail me yet. And I never will forget that you never failed me yet. And I never will forget that you never failed me yet. And you never will. God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. I know just what to do. God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision, Lord. See things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom to know just what to do. I like that last line of that verse. Give me wisdom, Father, to know just what to do. You might be in here right now and you're just saying, there's so much going on. There's so much trouble. There's so much craziness going on in my situations, Justin, you don't even know. It says, ask and it'll be given to you. It says he would give it to you liberally. Ask for wisdom. Ask for direction. And the King of the universe, the one that created the heavens and the earth, the one that spoke the stars into existence, will direct your path. You might not see the end and it might not make sense, but if God says to move this way, then move that way. If God says to do this, then do it. Let your answer be yes to him. Whatever he asks, let it be yes. Let it be yes, without even knowing the end. Start your journey without even knowing the end of the journey. Is what he's asking. He says, walk by faith and not by sight. God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Oh, give me wisdom. You know just what to do. And I will love you, Lord, my strength. And I will love you, Lord. my issue, and I will love you, Lord, my rock. Forever all my days, I will love you, God. My strength, and I will love you, Lord, my shield, and I will love you, Lord, my rock. Forever all my days, I will love you, God. God reigns, and hallelujah, our God reigns, hallelujah, our God reigns, forever all my days, hallelujah. 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 God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. Where my help comes from, give me wisdom. You know just what to do, and I will love you, Lord, my strength. And I will love Lord, my shield, and I will love you, Lord, my rock. Forever all my days, I will love you, God. Oh, forever all my days, I will love you, God. And hallelujah, our God reigns, and hallelujah, our God reigns, hallelujah, our God reigns, forever all my days, hallelujah, God, forever all my days, hallelujah. You got forever all my days, hallelujah, you got forever all my days, hallelujah, forever all my days, hallelujah. Forever all my days, I will love you, God. With all my heart, I will love you, God. With everything that's within me, I will love you, God. Oh, I will love you, God. I will love you. Oh, tell him you love him tonight. Tell him you love him. I'm in love. God, I love you. Oh, oh, I love you. Oh, 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 Lord, I love you. Oh, oh, Lord, let my actions, let my words, let everything that is within me show you my love. I will love. Everything, nothing less. Oh, everything, nothing less. Everything, nothing less. My life is yours, completely yours. Everything, nothing less. Oh, everything and nothing less. Oh, everything and nothing less. My life is yours, completely yours. Everything and nothing less. Give you everything and nothing less. Forever, everything and nothing less. My life is yours, oh, completely yours. And I surrender all. I surrender all. Lord, I surrender. I surrender all. And I surrender. I surrender all. Humbly I stand in all free. With open hands, Lord, I bring everything and nothing less. My best, my all. You deserve my every breath, my life, my soul. Everything and nothing less. My best, I give you my all. You deserve my every breath. I give you my life, my soul. Lord, I surrender. I surrender all. And I surrender. I surrender all. Lord, take control. I trust you. I'm letting go. Lord, I give you everything and nothing less. My best, my all. You deserve my every breath, my life, my soul. Everything and nothing less. My best. I give you my all. You deserve my every breath. You deserve my life. You deserve my song. So I surrender, I surrender all. And I surrender all. Lord, I surrender, I surrender all. Everything that I have is yours. Oh, I surrender all. Everything. Nothing less. Everything, nothing less. Forever. Everything and nothing less. My life is yours. Completely yours. And everything and nothing less. Lord, I give you everything, nothing less. Forever, everything, nothing less. My life is yours, completely yours. Everything that I have is yours. Everything that I am is yours. All my hopes, all my dreams, all my desires. Oh, it's all yours. All I want is you. All I want is you. I don't want to come here begging for blessings. I don't want to come here begging for your hand. God, I want you. As Moses said, I want you. I want to see you. I want to see you, he said. He said, Father, he said, Lord, I want to see you. And the King of the universe says, you, I'll have to hide you in the cleft of this rock and put my hand over you to cover it. And all I can let you see is the back of me, the tail end, the remnants of me passing by. Because you can't behold all my glory and live. But Moses was willing to risk his life just to see him. Moses was willing to risk everything that he was to catch a glimpse of God. What are you willing to risk? What are you willing to risk to get closer to Him? What are you willing to give up to see Him? If there's anything that stands in the way, it's an idol. Whatever came to your mind that you wasn't willing to give up is an idol in your life. Ooh. Holy Spirit, shine a light in our hearts. And let us see the thing that we're not willing to give up. The thing that we're holding on to, that we consider more precious than the King of the universe. There's nothing worth more. There's nothing worth more. How I long to be in your presence, Lord. Yeah. I want to see you. I want to see you. I want to see you. I just don't want to see the King work. I don't want to just see my Lord do miracles, which those are awesome things. I want to see Him. That's what Moses said. The blessings are not what I want, he said. God. How close to God was he that he didn't even want the blessings? He wanted Him. And how far away are we? So holy, I want to see you. I want to see you, because you are holy, holy. Are you Lord God Almighty? Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb, you are holy, holy. Are you Lord God Almighty? Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb, you are holy. Holy, are you Lord God Almighty? Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb, you are holy. Holy, are you Lord God Almighty? Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb, you are holy. You are holy. You are holy. You are holy. Holy is the Lamb. Holy is the Lamb. Holy, holy, you are Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. You are holy.
Heavenly Father, we just praise you tonight that you're worthy and holy. The character of who you are, you never change. You're always consistent and faithful, Lord God. In every situation, Lord, you're there. I love the fact that your word tells us that we can just come into your presence. We don't have to come shaking, fearful, full of anxiety, but God, we can just, like a child coming into the presence of their father, we can just come into you, love on you, and you reciprocate, Lord. You just love us back. And we just thank you for the privilege of having these moments together, because they're very real. They're very real to us, Lord. We appreciate so much all that you have done. But God, I love you because of who you are, not because of what you do or can do. And that is becoming more and more and more real every day in my own life, Lord. And I so appreciate you. So, Father, we just pray a special blessing on those that came out tonight. Father, that you would just, in your own unique way, speak to them, bless them, whatever. You know them better. You know the situations they're in. You know everything, God, they're facing. I pray just you would bless them. God, we pray for the children, the tweens, the teens. God, that you would just minister to them tonight also in such a unique and special way. And we just give you the praise, Father, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Why don't you take a moment and just turn and greet someone maybe tonight you've not had a chance to say good evening to.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Anyone have a quick testimony they want to share? A praise report, something God just blessed you, spoke to you? Oh, I guess somebody was just waving. Okay. I didn't know if they were waving at me or what. Okay. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Let me just remind you that Saturday night at 6 p.m., Dr. Dennis will be here with us. And then Sunday morning at 10:30, and then Sunday night at 6 p.m. So please just help us spread the word and get that out and bring somebody with you. That's the best invitation right there, is just bring somebody with you. Invite them to come. And we're just believing for God to do just an incredible thing this weekend. You know, in the natural, I just look at it like all I can see is that it's a date on a calendar, but I think God has a date on his calendar, and he puts things together. And sometimes if you've ever put on something or, like, you know, you wonder if it's going to work, happen, whatever. You know, you don't have to do that. When God's in control, God's in control. And I texted him and he got a message from earlier just a little while ago. And he says, next stop, Lafayette. He said, we're looking forward to it. So praise the Lord. Saturday night, 6 p.m. Amen. All right. About a couple weeks ago, Brother Tiger preached, and then last week Phoebe gave a message, and she did a great job too. And but I had mentioned that we were going to start looking at the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and try and be real practical about it, and lay some groundwork on it. Then looking at the different gifts of the Spirit of God and how they operate. And how to know, how to step out, how to recognize it. And this is with not just me speaking, input from others, those of you where God has used you in some of these areas. We want you to, here's the thing that you're going to find out and what you're going to talk about tonight is that these gifts are for every single believer. Everyone, not an elite group or a special group or whatever. There are gifts for every single one. That you may have one gift, you may have multiple gifts, and then there are the dynamic gifts, of the Spirit. The Bible says God gives them as he wills to do it. So you can't just say, I only have this gift, or I only have this gift. You have to say, no, I have the Holy Spirit. I'm a child of God, and I am available at any time, Holy Spirit, and you can use me in any way. And so we want to clear the air about misunderstandings or different ideas that maybe people have heard over the years, and so that we can understand it and begin to operate in it, begin to walk in it, begin to, and listen, you don't start off like up here. You start off like just a child that's starting to learn to walk. And it's like, it just, you know, I remember when I was a teen and this was all new, believe me, back when I was a teenager, a long time ago. The charismatic movement was just getting started, and it was almost like the blind leading the blind, and nobody knew much of anything. And so it was like, I don't know if this is God, or I don't know if this is God. How do I know if this is God? And we know so much more than we knew back then. And but there were times I would say, Lord, if that's you, give somebody else that message so I know that's you. And then somebody, God would do it. And then I'd go, oh, it was you, okay. So then the next time I'd feel a prompting of the Holy Spirit, I'd say, I don't know if that's you, give it to somebody else. So I mean, you know, about after the third time, God's like, you know, either give it or I'm not going to, you know. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? So I just want to, let's just make it, bring it down to earth where we live, okay? So this week and next week, we're going to just kind of lay the groundwork on the basics of it. And then we're going to get into each one specifically. And then we're going to go even a little bit past what the most Pentecostals, charismatic, full gospel people think of nine gifts of the Spirit. There are actually other degrees and divisions or categories of the gifts of the Spirit. They're all used the same word, and we're going to look at those. And so because somebody might say, well, I don't think God uses me in any of those things. But if you don't realize there's another whole group way over here that you've never heard about, then you will not recognize it as that. And they're just as important. They function differently. So we're going to talk about that over the next several Wednesday nights. Now, if the Lord wants to change a Wednesday night, we'll do that. But that's my goal, is to give you, pass along that with practical application, question and answers, whatever, okay? So let's just kind of set the tone this week. We're talking about the gifts of the Spirit. In John 14 and 12, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. Does that say anyone? Or does it say just a few? Anyone. Jesus said this, okay? So the purpose of this whole thing is that Jesus Christ came to redeem his creation, Luke 19 and 10, and he came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to destroy the works of the evil one. The scripture says in 1 John 3 and 8, okay? And so part of this is that Christ's ministry functioned in the framework of the power of the Holy Spirit. We know that he went for 40 days into the wilderness after he was water baptized. When he came out, the Spirit of God began to move and his ministry began to come forth. And so it's important that we understand if Christ had the Holy Spirit working in him and expressing the Father's purpose and will and everything else, then we as his children, as his followers, his believers, we need the same Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. That's what the Bible tells us, okay? And so what Jesus did, he did because a lot of people say Jesus did those things because he was God. But here's the problem with that theology. If Jesus was only able to do it because he was God, then that leaves us out because we are not God. We are not gods, even though there are people who teach that we are gods. We're not. But if the ministry that Christ did was directed, guided, and energized by the Holy Spirit, then when he says, the works I do, even greater works, and will you do, that means the same thing, that we will be guided, directed, energized by the Holy Spirit to be able to do those things, okay? So let's just kind of get down to the bottom line. What is charisma? We hear charismatic, we hear charisma. The actual word in the Greek is charismata, but it means charisma. What is it? In 1 Peter 4 and 10, it says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms, okay? I want you to notice that each person should use whatever gift they have received. So God has given us a gift. We need to settle that right now. You need to tell yourself, self, I have been given a gift by God. Okay? And I am willing to use that gift. Because there's a difference. It's one thing to say I have it. It's another thing to say I'll use it. Okay? He says each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. In fact, the reason God gave it is to serve others. Notice that. Gifts are not, I remember in the early part of the charismatic move, people would go around, it was almost like reading the book of Corinthians. The church was bragging on their gifts. Oh, I have three gifts, I have five gifts, I have this, I have this, I have this. That's not what the gifts are for. The scripture says, whatever gift you have received, serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in its various forms. And so we need to understand that gifts are given not to hoard, not to brag, not to boast, but to serve with, okay? In 2 Corinthians 3 and 5, it says, he has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. The Greek word for spiritual gift or charisma means grace. It's a grace gift. Its purpose has spirituality, but it's a grace gift. In other words, it's something that's freely given. Nobody, you can't earn it. Have you ever had somebody just give you a gift? and it's not your birthday. It's not a holiday. It's not like an anniversary. It's not whatever. They just gave it. And you said, what's this for? I just wanted to give you that. It's an unexpected gift. It's a grace gift. It's a love gift, if I can put it that way. And so God has freely given us that gift, okay? So what are the purpose of spiritual gifts? What's the purpose of them? I mean, if God's given them, what is the purpose? Well, we just read a scripture that said that we're to use them to serve faithfully. But in its characteristics, these gifts are extraordinary abilities given by the Holy Spirit for special service. In other words, God didn't give you a gift to go flip hamburgers. I mean, you may have the talent to do that, whatever, but he's given us, we're talking about supernatural gifts. We're talking about spiritual gifts that God gives us, and they're to be used for special or spiritual service in some way. So the gifts of the Holy Spirit are called gifts to reveal that there's only one way to get them. You can't buy them, can't earn them. Because I used to hear that when I was a young Christian in the early part of the charismatic movement. I'm telling you, there was so much craziness out there. People were like, if I do this and do this, I'm going to earn another gift. Like you used, when I was a kid, you earn a gold seal or a gold star, you know. Like, if I do this, I get another gold star. No, that's not what it's for. The gifts of the Holy Spirit cannot be earned. They're not merited because you do something. And this by no means minimizes their importance. Because somebody might think, well, if you don't have to do anything to get them, then it must not be very valuable. Right. You know, we always think if it's valuable, then you have to put forth something that makes it worthy. That's worldly thinking. That's not spiritual thinking. That's not what God does. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit are called gifts, but they're not optional. Because somebody might say, I want to give you a gift. And you say, oh, no, that's okay. It's not necessary. God's not saying it's not a gift like that. He's saying, I'm giving gifts to the church. I'm giving you gifts as believers because it's not optional. You need these. The church needs these. The mission of the church needs these, okay? So we can't earn them, but at the same time, they're not optional. We need them, all right? God doesn't put one, like he didn't line them up on a table out there and say, take one if you want it. You know, he gives them as he determines to do it. They are weapons of offense, and they are weapons of defense. And they are also a part of who we are, the calling that God has on our lives. If God's called you for something, he's going to give you the grace gift you need to fulfill that call. And you trying to do it without what God wants, God says you need, is ridiculous, you know? How many of you have ever had this happen the other day? How many of you have ever needed a specific tool for something? And you don't have the right one. Come on now. How many of you, you know? Like how many of you had needed like a flathead screwdriver, but all you could find was a Phillips? So you try and take a kitchen knife. Come on. Am I talking to you right? I mean, yeah. But I mean, you know, or we're going to improvise like we're MacGyver, you know, spiritual MacGyvers or something like that, you know, and we're like, oh, you know, I don't have that, but I'm going, oh, I can do it this way, you know, and no, it doesn't work that way at all. Without the gifts of the Spirit, the church is helpless. It is dysfunctional. And for us to even say that we are Spirit-filled believers and yet ignore the spiritual gifts is an oxymoron. It just doesn't make any sense, okay? So what's the importance of the charisma gifts or the charismata? In 1 Corinthians 12 and 1, Paul writes to the Corinthian church. And now the Corinthian church, in Scripture, it's like all the gifts were flowing, but they were the most carnal-minded, worldly-minded church anywhere written about in the Bible, just about. And Paul was constantly bringing correction to them, especially in their early years. And he says here in 1 Corinthians 12 and 1, now about spiritual gifts. In other words, he's been dealing about something else. So now he's going on. He says, now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. It is impossible to walk in the Spirit until we know what is Spirit. And so he's basically saying, concerning spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning them. We need to understand the Holy Spirit. We did a mini-series on Wednesdays a few months ago, just the characteristics and some of the identities and some of the things that who the person of the Holy Spirit is and things like that. But it is impossible to have proper spiritual development and spiritual maturity in our lives without understanding the functions of the soul and spirit. We use soul and spirit a lot of times like they're interchangeable, but soul and spirit are different. Soul is the soulish part. It is the mind, the will, and the emotions. The spirit is the spiritual person, the spirit inside of us. And they're at war with one another. Paul wrote that in the book of Romans. He talked about it. He said, the things I want to do are the things I don't do, and the things I don't want to do are the things that I do. Oh, what a wicked person I am. And this is the Apostle Paul. Because why? The soul is that the will and the emotions and the mind, and we're like, oh, I just don't think I can. You know, and the Spirit is going, yes, you can. Through God, all things are possible. But the soul's going, I don't feel like it. And the Spirit's going, it doesn't matter how you feel. You got this tug of war going on. Some days you wake up like you could charge hell with a water pistol, and other days you feel like you'd run if somebody just looked at you wrong. You know, that's the soul and spirit. And until a Christian can differentiate between the soul and the spirit, they're more than likely to live in the soulless realm, if I can put it that way, which is a lower realm than the spirit realm. And that's, I love the psalmist writes, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord. Why is he doing that? Because the soul's going, I don't feel like it doing it today. And you could, if you read it in that mindset, you go back and read those first few verses. He's saying, bless the Lord who redeemeth thy life with loving kindness. And he goes down this list, and then it's like, bless the Lord. You know, so you can almost hear like he's stating the case why we should bless the Lord. And the soul's going, but I still don't feel like it. You know, so he's going on and on, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And if we don't learn the difference between soul and spirit, we'll end up living in that soulish realm. And many, many, many church people do. They're led by their feelings. And it's almost a red flag when I hear people go, I feel, and I said, qualify what you mean by feel. You know, in other words, I sense the Lord. I used to say, I feel like God is saying, no, I sense the Holy Spirit saying. I had to change my vocabulary on that, because feeling a lot of time is what I'm feeling. And I've had people get up and, quote, want to prophesy because they feel like God's, and it's not the Lord, it's their feelings, and they got a pet peeve they've got to air out, and they're trying to find a spiritual way to do it. And so that's why the Bible says we need to judge everything by the word of God. The charismatic move of God is global. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit is on the church is to minister and to function in this world. Again, go back to 1 Corinthians 12:1. He says, I would not have you be ignorant. I want you to notice something, that the words are directed to Christians. They're not directed to non-Christians. And the gifts of the Spirit are only for the believers in Jesus Christ. Now, you have to understand, there is a large portion of Christian churches and ministers, famous ministers and whatever, TV, radio, internet, that they are part of what they call cessationist. And what they believe simply is that the gifts of the Spirit and the working of the Holy Spirit was only for the early church to help the early church get started. And all those things have now passed away. That is the large majority of churches in America today. These things are not for today. That's what they believe, okay? And so you need to be aware of that. But Jesus made it clear that he was sending someone to come and help us alongside us for the mission that he was going to do. In fact, in John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17, he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you. Notice that. It wasn't like Jesus was begging the Father, oh, please, Father, give them the Holy Spirit. In other words, he was saying, I am going to tell my Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you for what? Forever? Wait a minute. I thought he doesn't work like that anymore. You know? And then verse 17 says, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because he neither sees him nor he knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Okay? When did that happen? When did that last part happen? Because remember, the disciples, when Jesus was on the earth, he sent them out. They cast out demons. They healed people. They did things in Jesus' name. And yet he says, the Holy Spirit is with you, but he will be in you. When did that happen? On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down. And they began to speak with other tongues. And they began to glorify God. And the people in Jerusalem heard them. And 3,000 souls were saved that day. He says, you know him, for he lives with you, but he will be in you. In fact, Jesus said in John, he says, he will flow out of you like a river of living water. Okay? And so the Holy Spirit commanded the church not to be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. I think it's interesting that that's the word that's there. God says, I would, brothers, that you not be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. And what's so amazing is the things that God says he doesn't want us to be ignorant about are the things that the church is usually ignorant about. Because they come up with a reason for not wanting to go there or not wanting to understand it or not wanting to believe it or whatever. So, the gifts of the Spirit are a necessity. The gifts of the Spirit are grace gifts. They can't be earned, okay? But we can't live without them. The church needs them to accomplish the ministry or the mission that it's called to. And the unity of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is key. Because I saw in my early walk in the Lord and these things, I still see it to a certain degree, but not like this. There's no place in the body of Christ for competitiveness. We're to complete one another together. Like the body says, we are a body. An eye can't say I don't have any use for the rest of the body. An arm can't say I don't have any use for the foot. We need each other. We complete one another. And when we don't, then we are dysfunctional. And, I'll just be honest. We live in a day and time today where people find the easiest excuse not to come together as believers. And they've allowed other things in their lives to become priority, but they don't realize that if God has given you a gift, and he has, and you're not there, then the body is missing that gift. And the opportunity for God to do what he wants to do, I hate to say it this way, but we limit God in that because you're not there. Now, I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on anybody, like, you know, if you miss, then God's mad at you or anything like that. I'm just saying that we so easily today make willful choices like, well, you know, I'm just not going to be able to go to church today because we got this and the kids got this and they got this and they got this and whatever. And we don't realize that we are robbing the rest of the body, because church in America is basically about me. What am I getting out of it? What am I going to get from this? What am I? And then, you know, I'll tell you this real quick story. My wife and I, years and years ago, we were trying out at a church. I just said try out. That's what they call it. You know, when a pastor, they call a pastor. It's like you're trying out a church. Like I'm going to try on a suit, you know, or something like that. Yeah. And but anyway, it was in North Louisiana. And we went to town to eat lunch, and several members of the leaders took us to lunch, and it was at a buffet at a Holiday Inn hotel, you know, restaurant kind of thing. And so we got in there, and we got our food and went sat down, and there was like two or three tables behind us. There was a family or maybe two families of people from another church, and they were barbecuing the pastor. Everything that was wrong in the service, the music was off, the ministry was off, the pastor was off, the pastor's wife's outfit was outrageous. I mean, and even to the point where their kids were chiming in. And I was boiling, man. I was just like, it was coming up. I was just wanting to go over there and scream at them, I'm just telling you, it was, and I thought, I don't know what church you go to. I really want to know, because that has to be a dysfunctional church. Because if you're in there backbiting and talking about each other and, you know, oh, so-and-so hit the wrong keys again. I don't know why they got her playing the keyboard. I mean, we heard everything you can imagine. It was too hot. It was too cold. It was this. It was that. I mean, that went on through their whole meal. And I'm thinking all the people that were serving and waiting in that area were hearing all of that stuff. And I'm going, how is that the unity of the church? And I don't know why that came to mind. It just did. But we need to understand that the gifts of the Spirit, the work of the Spirit is to bring unity. And it doesn't take a spiritual gift to find fault. It takes love to overlook. I'm telling you. And we live in a cynical world, and it's really hard not to get caught up in that at times. But I'm just telling you, the Bible says, and do everything possible to keep the unity of the faith, the community of peace among the brethren. And so when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, they are to work together. They are to complement what God wants to do. And in 1 Corinthians 12 and 4, it says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. It's like going to a party or something, and everybody gets a present, And somebody's upset because they got the thing that I wanted. You know? And instead of rejoicing that they got a gift, they're jealous of someone else's gift. I wanted that. But God's the one who gives the gifts. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. The Holy Spirit can vary by divine revelation to graceful generosity to amazing power to inspirational prophecy, just the unfolding of teaching from the Word. There are so many gifts that God gives to the church, and we can't put them on a scale of like, this is category one, these are the best, this is category B, you know, or two, these are the, you know, next best, and well, these are the leftovers. No, because it's the same Spirit who's given the gifts as He determines to do it. The Bible says that though there are differences, it's the same Spirit. There's no difference in the Spirit. So what proceeds out of God's design for our lives and for the church and the congregation where He plants us is that He says, you have something this group needs. And so many people today, they go, I want something else, so I go someplace else. And what they don't realize is God gives us gifts and then puts us places because He sees a need. But instead, we put ourselves first, and then what happens is we go, oh, I want to go over there, I want to go over here, I want to go over here, and whatever. I remember when I was on staff in Thibodaux, Louisiana, as an associate pastor, and we had the blessing the other day when we went to our state conference and annual conference, and when we pulled into our hotel, coming out of the hotel was our former pastor and his wife and their son, where they were the ones that called us in 1983 to come and work for them. Here with them in Thibodaux, Louisiana. And we hadn't seen him in so long, and it was such a blessing. And so the next morning, we had breakfast with him for like 2.5 hours, and it was just, I'm just telling you, just did my heart so good, and my wife will tell you the same thing. It was just awesome. And, but I think about it, it's funny because I remember when they hired me, he told me later, I have to tell you, out of all the resumes I got, yours was the worst. I said, I could have told you that. I said, so why did you do it? He said, because I felt like God said, you are the one, you had what we needed. And we were so opposite. It was night and day between us, and I was pushing, we got to do this, and he was like, oh, chill, be cool, you know, we're going to get there, you know, and it was like, ah, but they were so good to us, and I look back now, God, why? Because He said, I saw that this church needed someone to do this. And you and your wife and your family came and did that. And because you did, I plugged the hole. I filled what was needed for a period of time. And from there, we went and started a church where there was no church. And so I'm just saying that we need to understand it's so important that we have the right mindset that it's not about what I can get. It's what God wants me to bring. I didn't mean to spend so much time on that. I really didn't even plan to say that. But anyway, in 1 Corinthians 12 and 5, well, we said it's different gifts, same Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12 and 5 says, but there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. The word service in the King James there, it means administration. And it's the word that we get deacon from. In a lot of churches, deacon is like an elder position or something like that. But in the Bible, a deacon was a table waiter. Go read it. In the book of Acts, that's what it was. He says, the apostles said, we need to be doing what God's called us to do, and that is spending time in prayer and in the word, and they were getting bogged down with taking care of the widows that needed to be fed and taken care of. And the Bible says, and they says, look out among you and find seven spirit-filled men and pick them and let them do that job. And they were deacons. What did they do? They served and waited on widows. And in fact, I had a pastor a couple weeks ago tell me, he says, I got rid of deacons in my church because deacons is devils. I said, what? He said, because as soon as they get that title, they think they're in control. I said, so opposite of what the Bible says. It means there are different services, there are degrees of service, but the word means administration of service. In other words, God gives you different degrees of administration to help in all of those things. And so we have degrees of service. For example, the word of wisdom is a common function in gift of an apostle or a prophet. Doesn't mean that God can't use you to do that, but it's a common, more common functioning gift among somebody like that. The gift of prophecy can and may function by anybody in the church. We looked at that a few weeks ago. Paul said, I desire that you all have gifts, but that most of all that you prophesy. It's the same Lord. It's the same Jesus Christ. Whether you're winning thousands of people to Christ or you're winning one person to Christ, that it doesn't matter. If God's called you to win one person at a time, then you will stand before God and he will say, well done. You've done what I called you to do. And we look at it and go, but these people gave thousands. That's not the point. That's not the point at all. 1 Corinthians 12 and 6, look what it says. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in men. And so the teaching is simply this, that the unity of the body of Christ, that we need to respect that each one's gifts and recognize it, that their gift makes you better. Their gift makes the church better. Their gift makes the mission of God possible, okay? And whatever that operation is, it's his working. It's his choosing. It's his decision of how to do that. And the key is that we are not to be jealous of each other, but we are to rejoice for one another. And that God has brought somebody or brought others around who bless in this area, who bless in this area, who add to us in this area, and we are not found lacking because of that. In 1 Corinthians 12 and 7, look what it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. That's the New King James. The NIV says it this way, now each one of the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So we really have three phrases here, and I'm about to wrap this up, okay? We have three key words or phrases in the sentence. Manifestation, each one, and common good. So let me go through it real quick. Manifestation simply means the demonstration of the Holy Spirit or the expression of the Holy Spirit, the expression of the gift that God gives and uses through a person is going to be done and seen differently, right? In other words, it's the demonstration of the gift of the Holy Spirit. The word literally means, in the Greek, expression of the gift. So, for example, if God gives a person insight, a word of knowledge about a situation, that is going to be expressed in a certain way. If God gives someone the gifts of healings, and that's plural. And I mentioned that a few weeks ago, that that can be seen in different ways. There are all kinds of historical examples of individuals who had healing ministries, but maybe their healing ministries were very strong in one particular disease, sickness, infirmity, whatever. And others, it was manifested in a different way. So it was a different expression, okay? And so that's going to look differently. So we shouldn't compare, well, so-and-so does it this way, or so-and-so does it this way. You have to understand, God uses the gift, gives the gift in the person, and every one of us is different. So how that gift is expressed is going to be expressed differently. Okay? The second one, it says, each one or every believer. And that means it includes every Christian, and there's no excuses. No way to back out. This is just every person in any congregation can look to God, and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit can come through their lives. I use this example. I'll tell it again real quick. I had a lady one time, and it seemed like every service she would just wait for a moment, and then she would try and give a message in tongues, and there'd be no interpretation. And finally, I confronted her, and I just told her quietly, I mean one-on-one, and I said, you need to give the interpretation. She goes, nope, that's not my gift. I said, well, that's not even biblical, because the Bible says that to give a message without an interpretation benefits no one, so therefore you should be ready to give the interpretation. She goes, nope, my job's to give the message, and somebody else needs to do it. I said, then you're out of order. And it's not biblical. And I said, and if you do it again, I'm going to call you down, because I've come to you privately. And I said, you're bringing confusion among the body of Christ. And he goes, well, that's not my gift. And I said, then let's open the Bible and see what it says. And we went to it. And she goes, I have never in all my years seen that. I said, well, you have now. And several weeks went by, and she didn't give any messages. But I could tell God was dealing with her. Until finally, she gave a message in tongues, and I have waited to see if it was going, you know. I said, Lord, I've done that lots of times, the interpretation, whatever, but it wasn't there. And I just looked at her, and she looked and began to weep and cry, and she began to give the interpretation. I said, now the gift works. And you have to be willing to let God use you. And we don't need God going, come on, do it. You know, there's no glory in that if God's having to force us to do it. And then the third phrase and the last one was, it's for the common good. In other words, there's a spiritual benefit for the individual, but there's also a spiritual benefit for the body of Christ. So you're not doing it for you, but at the same time, you're going to reap something from it, because you're going to see God use you. There's nothing more cool than that. I mean, for God to use you in some way. I mean, it may be simply that God says, see that person over there? How much money you got in your pocket? And you're like, Maybe God's trying to teach you generosity and compassion. And God says, go over and just tell him, the Lord told me to give you this. You know, and boy, when he tells you something about money like that, you'll go, get behind me, Satan. I know that's not God. I remember one time in my own personal life at younger years, and all I had was $10 in my wallet. And back then, $10 was a lot of money. And I was like, the Lord spoke to me and said, go give that $10. I said, Lord, how do I know they need $10? He said, I didn't ask you if they needed it. I said, go give it to them. And I said, you know what he was trying to teach me? Obedience, submission, to be led of the Holy Spirit, and teach me generosity. It's easy to give when you have it. It's not easy to give when you don't. I don't know why I got on that, but anyway, yeah. Last thing here is that in verse 11, it says, and these, plural, are the work of one in the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one as he determines. The CEV says it this way, but it is the same Spirit who does all this and decides which gifts to give to each of us. And what we have is the Holy Spirit deciding what is needed at the time. If you need a flathead screwdriver, you need a flathead screwdriver. You don't need a kitchen knife or a pocket knife or something else, right? So he says, I see a need, and I need someone to use in this gift or whatever. And he says, and he decides, he determines who to use at that time. And the great truth about this is that it is the Holy Spirit who decides and divides. You said, no, he doesn't divide. No, he decides and divides among the body the gifts. He distributes, probably would be a better word than divides. He decides and distributes. Maybe I was trying to get that to rhyme. I don't know. And it's the first thing that came to my mind. But there is no limitation to the working of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The only limitation is us. He won't force us. And I could tell you a personal story along that line, but I won't. I'll save it for another time. But God will, if you're not willing, God will just, he'll move right past you and find somebody who is willing. And I can tell you, you will be the most miserable person because you've grieved the Holy Spirit. So the gifts of the Spirit are given by him. They reside still within the church because the Holy Spirit is still here. And he determines what gifts, when, where, who, all of that. And we just simply need to be available. And so I close with 1 Corinthians 14:1. It says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. The word desire means to properly heat. I know that sounds crazy, but that's, in other words, it means to have a passion or eagerness or fervor for. That's what desire means. Have an eagerness for it, a fervor for it, a desire, a passion for it. God, I want to be used by you. Whatever gift you have for me, in any way, at any time, Lord, I'm available. Here I am. In fact, that ought to be a part of our prayer before we ever come together in a corporate way, whether it's a small home group setting or a church setting or a convention or anything like that. We ought to have spent time with the Lord, but then at some point saying, Lord, if you need me for anything, I'm available. Yes. And don't be surprised if he taps you on the shoulder and says, do that. I tell you real quick, years ago, I was in North Louisiana at a winter minister's retreat. And it was the last service that was going on, and they had an altar call. I don't even remember what the altar call was, but everybody there just about, they were ministers and their spouses. It was a retreat. There were several hundred people there. And as they were going forward, there was a couple that I saw. I didn't know them, like, personally, but I knew their name. I knew nothing about where they were or anything else. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, go write them a letter, and I'll tell you what to write. And I remember thinking, I don't even know him. He said, you write the letter, I'll tell you what to write. Well, a day or so went by, and I just kind of put it on the back burner and forgot about it. I know none of you have done that. And all of a sudden, God woke me up in the middle of the night and said, you have not written that letter. I said, Lord, I feel stupid. I don't know what to write. He said, I will tell you what to write. I got up and got pen and paper out, because there was no email or text messaging or anything back in those days. And I sat down, and I put dear, and I put their name on the front, on top. I said, okay, what do you want me to write? And just this compassion for them came over me, and I just began to, what my feelings I was sensing, I began to write. And I felt the peace of God doing that. I remember folding the letter up, putting it in an envelope. I had to call to find out what their address was. I had to call our district office because I didn't even know what town they lived in. And at the time, they lived over near DeRidder. And I put the address, I put the stamp, I went to the mailbox and dropped it off, feeling so good until the mail, that envelope went out of my hand, hit the bottom of the box, and I went, what have you done? And I said, okay, God, they're going to think Bob Zanini is the craziest guy that they've ever known. I found out 2 days later, the wife wakes up in the middle of the night, hits her husband, and says, who is Bob Zanini? He goes, what? Who is Bob Zanini? He goes, he's a minister in the state somewhere. I don't know. Why? She says, I just heard his name while I was asleep. And I'm like, I found this out afterwards. And he goes, I don't know where he lives. I don't know what he does. He's a pastor, I think. She goes, well, why would God tell me that name? I don't know. You can imagine that conversation that morning, a few hours later when it was breakfast, like, don't wake me up in the middle of the night and ask me those kinds of questions, you know? He goes to work, and she gets the mail, and there's the letter. And she calls him and says, get home now. He thinks, oh, my goodness, what's happened? He comes tearing home, and she's holding a letter from me because my name's up in the corner. He says, where did that? In the mail it came. Where do you think it came from, you know? He says, well, what's it say? She says, I don't know. I'm not opening it. You open it. And they opened it and read it together, and they wept and cried. And they said, you read our mail exactly where we were, the pain we were feeling, the hurt and everything, the loneliness, everything. And your word spoke so right on to us. And I got a phone call that afternoon, back when long distance calls cost money. Some of you remember those days, and you'd limit those calls because they cost a lot. And I get on the phone, and there's these two people on the other end of the line, and they're bawling and squalling, and I'm like, who is this? And they tell me their name. They said, we got your letter. And I wanted to go, I'm sorry. Before I could, though, they go, oh, thank you for sending it. And it became a lifelong friendship, so much so that at a later point in time, years later, Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, call them about coming to work for you on staff. I said, Lord, he's a pastor of a church down in New Orleans. And I called his wife and I said, is so-and-so around, your husband around? He goes, no, he's at work. And what's this about? And I said, Holy Spirit said to offer you a position as a staff pastor. She said, who told you? I said, told me what? She says, he's resigning the church here Sunday. This was on Friday. I said, Holy Spirit told me. She said, Bob, this is getting creepy. And I said, well, we just happened to be in New Orleans on Monday. And I said, because my daughter had given us a gift certificate to Emerald's Restaurant. I said, we're coming down. Why don't you meet us and we'll talk about it. And next thing you know, they're moving and coming to work for us. I'm just telling you, see, we think the gifts are super spiritual, whatever, but he gives us a word of knowledge, or he gives us an impression, or he gives us a word, or he gives us something that he tells us to do, and you don't know what it does, because it not only, look, when they hung up the phone, that first phone call, I got off the phone and go, yeah, I heard from God. You know, I mean, really. But it blessed them. It blessed me. Later on, it blessed the whole church. I mean, and I'm not patting myself on the back. That just came to mind to tell you that he says, eagerly desire them. Would you dare to have a passion, a fervor, an eagerness for God to use you? Get past the lie that the devil would say, you can't be used by God. Get rid of that lie and say, God, use me. Here I am, any way you want, use me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I am so grateful for Holy Spirit. His wisdom is beyond anything in this world. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows the needs. God, he knows every congregation. He knows the church. He knows the people. He knows the gifts that are needed. He knows where they are in the life cycle of their mission. He knows all of that. All we need to do is make ourselves available, usable for the glory of your kingdom. And so, Father, I just pray in the coming weeks that those that are here and those that would watch by way of the internet, that they would catch a fire, a passion, a fervor for the spiritual grace gifts given by you, Lord, to your body, that they might function as a complete and whole body. And we ask it not for our glory, not that pat ourselves on the back, but simply, Lord, for the glory of your name. For when the church is the church operating as it should, then Jesus, you get all the glory. And that's all we want. That's all we want, is that you get the glory, Lord. So I pray for everyone in here. I pray, God, that let the spark be lit tonight. in everyone for a fervor. Even those that have been used in some of the gifts of the Spirit, God, that you would relight it, that you would fan it, that fire into a blazing torch, Lord God. Take it to a whole new level. Those who have been used in the past that have pulled away or just stopped making themselves available, God, refire, rekindle that desire in their lives. And Holy Spirit, show us, teach us. And we're willing to make mistakes. We're willing to be corrected. We're willing to be taught. We're willing to be used. That you would get all the glory for it, Jesus. And we ask it in your name. Amen. Is anybody here tonight you need prayer? You need someone to pray with you about anything, whether it's a physical thing, a situation, or someone you know, or anything like that? We would want to pray for you if you need prayer. You need prayer, brother? Okay. Anybody else? Amen. Lisa, okay. Why don't some of you come out and pray for our brother and pray for our sister right now. Come on. Thank you, Lord.